number one, obviously, all glory to God.
And then there's a CAN bus, the most efficient organization on the planet.
I'm going to put a plug in because we're in the damn state of Iowa.
Bobby Telfer, I'm the baddest man on the planet.
Whoa, hey, what's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register in tandem with Matt Talk Online and Jason Bryant. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer for at least a couple more days. And I'm glad you're here joining us. As I'm sure a lot of people saw, if not, here's the news now. Last couple days, the Register's wrestling writer, as of Friday, I believe officially that's my last day. Buddy's getting married this weekend, so we're going to go celebrate that, take the weekend off before I jump ship to 247 and CBS Sports starting next week. We'll dive more a little bit into that later. Here with my buddy Jason Bryant, as always. Jason, it is no longer May, but I believe we're both still wearing wrestling shirts. I'm wearing the Iowa USA wrestling shirt, 16U duels from 2021. You're rocking Matt Talk Online. Buddy, how are you doing?
Well, I'm going to want to apologize to our viewers because I'm in the library at the National Wrestling Hall of Fame doing a little remote wireless. Normally, I've got my gigabit plugged in. So those of you watching on the live stream may not get the best experience because Cody's slightly pixelated. And, of course, there's the picture of me. So who wants that? But those of you chiming in on the face of the books, the YouTubes, the Twitches, and the Matt Talk Online Discord chat, welcome again. And first of all, congratulations on the move. I am excited for you. I am saddened for wrestling and the show. We're just getting into a groove here, and you with everything. And I'm sitting here, all right, good. We got somebody to lead the way and keep me on target. I can handle the tech stuff and the factual history of the things. And I guess I'm gonna have to post on the NCAA job market. I'm looking for another co-host. So, congrats to you, and enjoy the humidity in Tuscaloosa.
I am of the many things that I'm looking forward to about this job shift, jump, change, whatever. Very much looking forward to leaving the snow here up north. I know I'm not in the great white north that you normally live in Minnesota. But tell you what, man, winters are brutal. And if not for wrestling, they would be absolutely miserable here in the state of Iowa. So very excited about that. Moving down to Tuscaloosa later this summer. Going to be covering Alabama for 247. Again, we can touch on that a little bit more later in the show. Among the many things we're probably going to get to first, some recruiting stuff, some portal action. But you touched on it first. I wanted to start here. You are at the Wrestling Hall of Fame. I'm super pixelated, but I can see some super dope trophies behind you in your screen. Hall of Fame weekend, right?
Yeah, Honors Weekend. This is the 46th weekend here in Stillwater. And just to give those of you in the great state of Iowa an understanding, you guys have the Dan Gable Museum in Waterloo, which was initially Mike Chapman, when he founded it, called it the Dan Gable International Wrestling Institute and Museum. And ultimately, this faction down here and that faction merged, and that is the National Wrestling Hall of Fame's Dan Gable Museum. A lot of things, unique exhibits up there compared to what's down here. Some of the things are the same, like the state chapter program, which you can go in and punch if you're in the state chapter for any state. Inducted, for example, I was inducted for Virginia in 2017. I can go up to the board and hit Virginia or search my name and boom, there's my bio. And, to sit there and look around and be like, okay, there's the plaques of granite behind here in Stillwater. Or if you're in Iowa, you can see the cool, like the Wall of Singlets in Waterloo. If you haven't been there at 303 Jefferson, it is just, these are places you need to go as a wrestling fan. And I geek out because this room right here is the library. And right behind me is Jess Hoke's actual typewriter when Amateur Wrestling News was produced with a typewriter. There are the stacks here are immense with Wrestling USA Magazine, Wrestling Masters, which was a Carl Adams and Gary Abbott production back in the 80s. Of course, Amateur Wrestling News. They've got magazines from around the world. Win Magazine, you have a treasure trove of information. I look over here right now, and I'm seeing a picture of Tamira Mensah-Stock and Gable Steveson right above the flag from the LA 84 Olympics. This is just like a wrestling geek's dream. And, it's a special weekend. It's it's become one of my go-tos, and I don't get paid to be here. This is something that I come down to do. I record the Hall of Fame inductees, those that are here and available for the Legends podcast. And then, USA Wrestling will be here doing interviews as well. Gary and Richard Stead, Mike Maloncanico making an appearance. He'll be here shooting videos for them. We've got documentarians here, and it's going to be a great weekend. So we kick it off. Tonight is I arrive here, I get here, I get set up, check into the hotel. I took a scooter. They don't have Lime scooters here. They have spin scooters. So I took one of those across campus, parked it. So tomorrow, during the day, I'll be doing the interviews. But tomorrow night, there'll be the reception and the introduction of the plaques where each person gets unveiled with their display. That'll be up here all year long. Saturday, we have the breakfast or the brunch, which is a couple people will speak on the behalf of each honoree. It's not a roast, but you will get some funny stuff in there. Last year, Mario Lopez's high school coach, William Virchus, gave one of the most fiery, inspirational speeches. This guy, he's an actor. He's a playwright. He's a guy that does stage and wrestling. And he gave one of the most memorable speeches that we've had in the short history of that portion of Honors Weekend. And then Saturday night is heavy hors d'oeuvres. And then you go into the McKnight Center for Performing Arts. This is it's a palatial type of place to watch, performances and such. And the acoustics are great. So when you're whispering to the person next to you, making a smart joke to yourself, the whole place can probably hear it. So, and Sandy Stevens is here. She'll be emceeing tonight or tomorrow night's festivities. And again, Saturday night. So, it's really cool. And there's four distinguished members that go in, and there's four other awards that go in a part of it. Distinguished members this year, Rich Bender, of course, the executive director of USA Wrestling, Jimmy Jackson, who is a three-time heavyweight national champion here at Oklahoma State, Patricia Miranda, who wrestled at Stanford, multiple-time U.S. World Team member, and the first woman, United States woman, to win an Olympic medal. She won a bronze in the very first Olympics in 2004 for women's wrestling. And Joe Williams, who you Iowa folks will know pretty well, four-time All-American, three-time national champion, Illinois native, one of those old Harvey Twisters. Also some Iowa ties there. Bob Bowlesby, former Iowa, Northern Iowa AD and Stanford AD, Big 12 commissioner, going in for Outstanding American. Frank Popolizio, who has run great events for decades up in New York for the Order of Merit. Medal of Courage goes to Richard Perry, who was on the network this week with Andy Hamilton and Kyle Kleeman on the Mat show. Of course, Medal of Courage, he's been in the news about the settlement, but his story, just what he's overcome, gets him the Medal of Courage. And Ed Kelly, who is the meritorious official for lifetime service for officials. I never met Ed until today as he sat behind me on the plane. Yes, I flew into Stillwater. And let me tell you, this airport is gigantic. It is so big. The cell phone waiting lot is so big, it's one space. But it's a dad joke. I told you you're going to have dad jokes, but I tell you what, it was it's just so much fun to come down here. And, I contributed two things to the Hall of Fame this year, two covers of Sports Illustrated with wrestlers on them. And of course, we know Dan Hodge was on the cover back in the 50s as the only wrestler to be focused for wrestling. But I found, Roger Huerta wrestled at Augsburg. There was an MMA story in 2007 with a cage, and there was a guy, with a straight kick, and it was Roger Huerta who wrestled at Augsburg. So there is a post-collegiate wrestler on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Now, digging through on my Gray Simon stuff that I'd been talking about, I went to the Tennessee Facebook group, the Tennessee Wrestling Alumni, kind of gave my pitch to try to get some information on Gray for his old Tennessee wrestlers when he coached there. And I said, my tie to Tennessee is through football because my stepbrother, his uncle Frank Emanuel, played football at Tennessee and for the Miami Dolphins and was on the cover of Sports Illustrated in 1966. Well, I'd always called him Uncle Frankie. He's like he wasn't my uncle, but when he was coaching for the Buccaneers in the 80s, that's how I became a Buccaneers fan. So I post that story. The Tennessee guy's like, no, Frank wrestled at Tennessee. His name in the bracket was Tom Emanuel. His name is Thomas Frank Emanuel. So there it is. There is another wrestler that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He wrestled in the 1964 NCAA championships and was a state runner-up in Virginia at high school, at Warwick High School in Newport News, Virginia. So there is a tie to wrestling I had that I didn't even know about until last summer when I went and found these Sports Illustrated. So now, along with Dan Hodge, Roger Huerta, and Frank Emanuel will be in the Hall of Fame for their Sports Illustrated. So that was my contribution to this year, and I'm kind of pumped about that.
Yeah, man. I was going to ask you, what's your favorite part about their weekend or what are you most looking forward to? But it sounds like you just kind of teed off with it right there. That's a really cool find.
This is just so, look, Tab Thacker, if those of you don't know who Tab Thacker is, he was, like Jimmy Jackson, was a very gargantuan heavyweight in the era. Well, Tab Thacker was House in the Police Academy movies, and he was also Finch in Wildcats. So if you're looking into doing an 80s bad comedy movie deep dive, by the way, Wildcats, it's a sport of kings, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Yeah, Tab Thacker is in, his singlet is literally in here, and it's a square city block. I mean, it's just, I love Honors Weekend, and it's a great time. And, you know, a couple people have already chimed in. Of course, Aaron Swayze, he's like, he's been here. He loves it. You know, it's this cool stuff. They do some really cool stuff when it comes to local Chamber of Commerce with, you know, functions and stuff here in Stillwater, too. So I'm a big fan of this weekend.
Yeah, when Joe Kress, photographer at the Iowa City Press Citizen, National Wrestling Media Association photographer finalist, I believe, this past year, Joe Kress, he and I actually drove down through Stillwater on our way to Tulsa for the NCAA championships. And we stopped specifically to go to the museum because it's either been a really long time since I had last been to the museum, and he had never been there before. So I was like, we should go. And so we spent, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours just looking at all the stuff. Cause there, you know, he was taking pictures of like Clarissa Chun's got, you know, a little thing there. Tom Brands has singlets up there. There's faces all over that, you know, have Iowa ties and whatnot. We got to look at the Olympic champ sketches. We also sat we stood in the, I forget where, kind of the rotunda area where you can pull up the NCAA finals matches. And, you know, rest in peace, we pulled up Mark Ryland's, you know, NCAA championship match from, you know, I think in the 80s, late 80s, early 90s, you know, his pin to win in Iowa City. And so we pulled that up, watched that, watched a handful. I think we watched Tom Brands, watched him win his first NCAA title. It was just like, it's just fun to be down there, man. Like, and I love, you know, cause it's got a museum feel to it. Like, obviously it is a museum, but, it's also a Hall of Fame. And so it's fun to just look back at the history, and, you know, there's a lot of really good like stories in and around that place, all over that place. That's what I was kind of geeking out about. Like I walked in with my notebook and I was like taking notes. I'm like, huh, I wonder if there are like stories here that I could pull out of this or things that I can just make note of for later. You know, just trying to keep things in mind, because I knew as soon as we got to Tulsa, I was going to be all in on the NCAA championship. So I was just kind of keeping things in my back pocket. What is, what's your favorite part about, the Stillwater Hall of Fame? We'll say it that way so we can differentiate.
It's the library, but honestly, it's Friday night. And this is like my pitch. It's not like I'm trying to sell coming down here for any type of monetary value. I'm trying to sell coming down here because Friday night is a chance to meet your heroes in so many different laid back out. You're not bothering them in a wrestling tournament. They're here to celebrate the sport of wrestling. A lot of times they know the inductees, and you got about a good two and a half hours to just mill around. And, you know, hey, there's Wayne Wells over there. Oh, well, there's Bruce Baumgartner. There's Gable. Hey, you're going to go have a glass of wine with John Smith. Like, it is, you know, just the who's who comes in here, and there it shows you. You know, a lot of people say, you know, you don't ever want to meet your heroes. Well, this is a place where you can meet your heroes, and you can do it, and you don't go away feeling like you're just like a handshake and move away. You can have a conversation. Some of the fun stuff like tonight is a kind of a low key thing that, you know, one of the friends of the museum kind of hosts over at his estate, for lack of a better term, because he's got like a waterfall and a slide in the backyard. Ed Gallegos, great guy, big help to the Hall of Fame. And, you know, you're sitting there, you know, having a, you know, you're sitting there talking about the fishing pond in the backyard, and Rich Bender's like, yeah, I pulled a big old bass out of there a couple of years ago. So, I mean, you get to see people outside of wrestling where they're not so uptight about what's going on the mats and stuff. So it really personalizes these people. And it, you know, this is the opportunity. It's like, you know, you cover, we've talked about this, where you cover your friends. Well, this is the chance when you become, you know, forge those relationships with people. It's not like, oh, you're not just the guy that asks me all the questions. You know, it's laid back. It's off the record. You're kicking back, having a beer, or you know, a soda, whatever you prefer. And it's just that Thursday is cool, but that's more of a you know, kind of a localized event. But the Friday night, which is open to the public, is just, you know, very few opportunities will you have in such an intimate setting to see and hear and talk to some of the greats in the sport. And Friday night is one of those things where I feel like every wrestling fan should make a point to come here on a Friday night at some point in their lives. Just, it doesn't matter who the class is. You're going to meet some people that are great, because it's not like it's only those people that are here. People that are in the Hall of Fame come back annually to be part of this. And You know, I mean, you've got one of the iconic voices of wrestling. Sandy Stevens emcees this thing. So it's like, no matter what age you are, you remember Sandy on the microphone at some point or another in your life. So you're going to, it's going to be a very familiar place, but it's not going to be, it won't smell of that much Rezolite, because there is Rezolite in the building, but it won't smell of wrestling room unless you walk next door to, it's another thing, it's next door to Gallagher Iba Arena. So if you want to pop into the Oklahoma State wrestling room and check that out, they can usually make that happen too. A couple years ago, I brought my niece and nephew down, and Taylor Miller got me down on the field at T. Boone Pickens Stadium, and my niece and nephew ran a 100-yard dash across from end zone to end zone. So it's just like, it's such a cool place. You know, it's a really, Stillwater in June is fantastic. So those are my big highlights of this weekend. It's Friday night. Of course, the honors that go into it, the interviews that I get to do, but Friday night really is where it's at, you know, as just a wrestling person.
Of all the honors weekends that you've been to, what's like a favorite memory or two that stick out? Like, what's like when you tell people about honors weekend, like what's the one thing you bring up every time?
Well, it's usually that, yeah, it's usually those Friday nights. But Gary Abbott, when he went in, Gary's been a mentor, a friend, a boss, a roommate. You know, he was a guy that never met me in 1999 when I show up to Fargo trying to get a media credential for Team Virginia for this website I run called Matt Talk Online. And Rob Sherrill vouched for me, and, you know, we've been friends ever since. So when Gary went in, I had a chance to speak on his behalf for the tribute. Granted, his was a little different because we had to do the video because of COVID and whatnot. But, you know, Gary's been such a workman. When you could almost rename workman like, you know, Abbott like, just in terms of his, you know, how much he works and how diligent he is in putting things together, just doing the grunt work. He's always been a grunt work guy versus a delegator guy. He's going to delegate more grunt work, but he's going to be sitting there in the trenches with you. He's not going to say, do this, I'm going to go to dinner. So Gary went in with special. And then, you know, Sarah McMahon going in last year was big because her and I are in the same generation. You know, seeing her come up and, you know, got to know mutual friends. And granted, we were, you know, friendlier at times where, you know, we're adults. We live in different parts of the world, so we hadn't seen each other in a long time. But it was cool to see her go in. And, you know, maybe it was the first time I came down before the renovation. One of the early times I went down, Mike McCormick, who's from my hometown, went in for Meritorious Service Award. And that was when Cale went in as a distinguished member, but he was wrestling that weekend at World Team Trials. So that was a cool one because, again, Cale and I are 2 months apart. And, you know, when you talk about wrestlers of a generation, he's the wrestler of my generation. The kids growing up now, they have a Jordan Burroughs to look at, you know, kind of the last 15 years, actually 12 years or whatever it has been for him on the international level. But, you know, Cale and I, same high school graduating class, we're 2 months apart. You know, it's one of those things like he's the guy of my generation. So him going in was pretty cool to go in with a friend of mine. And then that year, John Graham, who was the founder of the Virginia Duels, and John Morris, who was my high school's only All-American, who wrestled at Lehigh, who was a D1 All-American at Lehigh. It was all these Pocosin guys were down there. You know, Mike McCormick, his dad, Pat McCormick, was the national director of officials for a long time. His wife, Judy, was my assistant principal in high school. So a lot of that Bull Island flavor, that's what we call my hometown, that year was probably the most special because of the McCormick factor. And then, of course, Cale going in. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm this Penn State fanboy or anything, but again, he's the wrestler of my generation. So that was like, that's like, man, I'm old. When you got guys going in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I believe he is the youngest guy to go in as a distinguished member. So those are two of my bigger years was the 2011 year. And then when Gary went in.
That's awesome. I'm ashamed to say that I have not actually ever attended Honors Weekend before. Been down to Stillwater for a number of different events, for duels, for World Team Trials Finals, for all sorts of other stuff, but never been down there for Honors Weekend. It is still on my bucket list, which now might be a little bit harder to check off some of those things now that I'm leaving the media space, the wrestling media space at least. But that's exciting, man. Like, I'm pumped you're down there. I'm excited to kind of see the interviews that come out of there. And, you know, it's just like a fun weekend to just remember how awesome the sport of wrestling is and just recognize the great people that have come through it, both on and off the mat. It's funny, you know, everybody remembers Sandy Stevens' voice. Like, every time I think of Sandy Stevens, I think of her yelling at rambunctious little kids to clear the mats because they're not listening
or
to
Ben
14 times. That too. She's just like, that's just, you know, please clear the mats. Like, that is just, that's always what I think of when somebody says her name.
Do not climb
that'll be exciting,
over
man.
Railing.
Yeah. Oh, classic.
But to shift gears, you know, we talked to Bowlesby, you know, Bowlesby going in. There's speaking of Iowa athletic directors or soon to be former Iowa athletic directors, it's been a busy week with Iowa. We have Gary Barter announcing his retirement. And then, of course, the pickup that was streamed on Flow last night of Angelo Ferrari committing to Iowa. So you're the Iowa guy. Let's start with the wrestling relationship here. I guess what this means for wrestling with Gary Barta stepping down. And, you know, it's the women's wrestling program started there with some interesting scenarios surrounding it. And, there was also the joke. It's like, I was going to sign Ferrari. Gary's like, I'm out. So there's a couple fun ways to look at that. But what's your take on Gary's maybe impact on wrestling and what his impact on wrestling is with him departing?
Yeah, I think, you know, he was always supportive, you know, at virtually every home duel that I covered when it came to Iowa. Barta was there. Like he, you know, the media row set up is next to the tunnel where the Iowa wrestlers run out of. And I always sat on the right side of media row, usually right behind Stephen Grace and Mark Ironside. I love listening to those guys and they do a really good job.
They're awesome.
It's funny, quick side note, at the NCAA championships this year on day one, they sat me way up high. I kept calling it the bird's nest. And I didn't like it because I liked it because I could see everything, but I didn't like it because I like being down closer to the action, just feeling the energy on the floor. But one of the perks of sitting way up high was that they sat me right next to Grace and Ironside. And so that entire first session, because I think I spent the second session of Thursday on the floor, I was able to get down there and just walked around. But Thursday's first session, I sat right next to them. I was bantering a little bit. Like, I think I sent out a tweet. I was just like, you know, hey, if you guys listen to Ironside and Grace, like I'm sitting right next to him, you might hear me cuss. It was a good time. Like just, you know, getting their perspective on things, like literally sitting right next to him, you know, cause when you're at Carver and the crowd's going crazy, you know, they're in front of me, but I can't always hear them because the crowd is just going absolutely ballistic. Anyway, back to Gary Barta. He was always there, man. Like he was always there. Supportive of the wrestling programs. We would see him on media days. We would see him at not just big duels, you know, like when Iowa hosted Chattanooga, he sat there and watched, always supportive of what the brands were doing, always supportive of the program. I know that there's a lot of people in Iowa and people out of Iowa who kind of, you know, he's a bumbling idiot that made a lot of mistakes and just couldn't really get out of his own way. And it's funny, one of those mistakes, like, you know, this whole Title IX lawsuit a few years ago after he tried to axe what I think four different sports because of COVID, or at least he cited the financial challenges brought on by COVID, right? Ultimately led to Iowa installing a women's wrestling program. And I know that they had discussed that at length before that ultimately pushed them over the edge. But like, you know, it's from a wrestling perspective, one of his weird mistakes turned into the first D1 Power 5 women's wrestling program and currently still the only D1 Power 5 women's wrestling program. It's a bummer that that's how it came about, but, you know, kind of cool, right? Like, I mean, he's, you know, like, I know that that's like, you know, people are going to be like, you know, Title IX lawsuit, like that's what's part of his legacy, but, you know, like, and I don't think as wrestling fans, we should forget that, but, you know, interesting side effect based on some of his, you know, mistakes. I think there's a lot of people that are kind of excited to see him leave. I think they're just tired of the shenanigans, you know, and I think this whole gambling thing that also includes wrestlers from Iowa and, you know, tangentially related wrestlers from Iowa State are involved with this gambling thing. I think upwards of like 100 students or something gambled and a handful of them are athletes and a handful of the handful are wrestlers specifically. So, not that this was, you know, directly wrestling's fault that Bart ended up leaving, but I'm pretty convinced that this gambling thing is maybe a large reason why Barta decided to step down now, or maybe that was maybe a backdoor. I don't want to say a backdoor agreement, but like, you know, as they're going about figuring this stuff out, I would not be shocked if it came out that maybe Barta stepping down was part of, okay, if we're going to come in and clean this up, that needs to be it. Or that needs to be part of it just because of all the different transgressions and stuff that he's had beforehand. And, you know, I think just, you know, with as long as Kirk Ferentz has been there too, the Iowa football coach, and, you know, just a lot of the silly things that they've kind of been doing just with, you know, Kirk being in charge, but then also Brian Ferentz being his offensive coordinator and the football team just really kind of underperforming in that front. another tangent, weird tangent here. I just think there was a lot of people that lost a lot of respect for Barta and just, you know, didn't really appreciate the way that he was leading the athletic department, even though he, you know, operated in the plus when it came to money. And generally speaking, he installed a lot of coaches that won a lot. I mean, Iowa may not be competing for national titles in every sport, but they're consistently competing for Big Ten titles. Wrestling obviously took second this year. The women's basketball program got to the NCAA finals. Like, there's a lot of really good things that go on in that athletic department, despite a lot of Barta's transgressions. So I think there's a lot of people that are excited to see him go. I know I'm one of them, but I, you know, also have to admit that one of his mistakes turned into a really cool wrestling thing. So, you know, I guess that's a good way to kind of pat his back on the way out the door. I don't know. It was kind of a weird, long, you know, roundabout answer, but there's a lot of people that are excited that he's going to go. And I think there's a lot of people that are curious as to, you know, I think it's Beth Gotz. I don't know how to pronounce that name, but she was installed as the interim today, interim AD. And I think there's a lot of people that would like to see the interim tag removed when Barta leaves later this summer officially. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Heard good things. Yeah, heard good things. Haven't done a whole lot of research on that. And, you know, but speaking of, again, for me, the readership angle you've got here with Iowa, I mean, Shane Sparks was on the Big Ten tournament, and there's Iowa baseball right there in the finals against Maryland. And then traditionally the field hockey program has been really good too. And, you know, reason I know that is there were like four kids from my home district back in Virginia that went and played field hockey at Iowa. And I'm like, what? There's two kids from Pocosin High School on Iowa's field hockey team. That was one that kind of made me pay attention. They had some good teams. Strangely enough, no field hockey at the University of Minnesota. Great sport. Great sport. So I actually, the first national championship I ever called from the NCAA level was a Division I field hockey national championship when that school in Norfolk beat North Carolina for the school's ninth Division I national championship. So, yeah, so field hockey is also a good one for Iowa.
It's dude, it's funny, like, because field hockey is like not a Midwest sport. Like, it's very much coastal. Yeah. And so, like, it's funny, you look at like all the D1 field hockey programs, they're clustered on the East Coast. And then like the further like west you go, like, okay, Ohio State, like there's a handful, you know, Northwestern, Iowa, and then there's like nothing until you hit Stanford. Like, there's yeah. It's like, as a sport, it's so funny. But yeah, like I was one of those, you know, like, yeah, we do field hockey out here. Like, come along. Like, you know, they've had some really good teams, I think, over the last couple of decades. You know, I think it wasn't too long ago that they were ranked top five, or, you know, they won a Big Ten title. Like, that's another program that has been consistently high level despite Gary Barta's transgressions. So it's, you know, it's kind of interesting to think about that dynamic as he leaves.
What's also interesting is, you know, I'm a realignment goofball. So, you know, I'm reading Matt Brown's Extra Points newsletter, and I think wrestling people would be, I guess I got to find a Matt Brown subscription referral link if I throw this out there, but to give them understanding about how, you know, the rest of the world operates in terms of, it's basketball and football that moves the needle. We don't determine, you know, our conference structures most of the time. It's usually by, you know, kind of by accident. But field hockey at one point, and this is again another tangent, had a conference makeup that had Cal, Stanford, and there was another California school, Cal and Stanford, and then it was like St. Louis, Radford, Appalachian State, and Longwood was like the most random conference. And that was called like the NORPAC conference. It was so strange. So wrestling, we've got some weird conference, like the Pac-12 that has Little Rock in it. Yeah, can't hold a candle, or the Division III. There's the Coast to Coast Conference, which has UC Santa Cruz, the now closing Finlandia, and Christopher Newport University, which is in Newport News, Virginia. By the way, do you know what UC Santa Cruz's mascot is?
That one I actually don't know.
They are the Banana Slugs. If you've seen Pulp Fiction, you should know that. But anyway.
I need a shirt. So
they need wrestling. First of all, Banana Slug wrestling would be great. Mike Moyer, get on that. So I think we've exhausted the amount of field hockey we're allowed to talk on in the room. So next topic, Angelo Ferrari, you know, this was on Flow. You wrote a story about it. You know, it seems like he's the most divisive family in wrestling right now strikes again. This time, you know, the Hawk fans seem to be very hopeful that, you know, the alleged baggage that the rest of the older brothers kind of carry with them won't be impacting the youngest brother. But hey, no question the kid's talented. And, you know, I do like – now, I get the hat-throwing thing notwithstanding. I like the fact that he made it an announcement with the hats like the other sports do. We need to stop committing early. We need to do more of this stuff because that got headlines. The kid committing early that you can't get a quote from as a salt. I committed as a freshman. This is like Johnny Sebastian, you know, years ago when he did it at Bergen Catholic, the New Jersey newspapers were there. This is how you do a commitment. If you're wrestling, that's the way he did it. Right now, say what you want about, you know, what he did with the Penn State hat, but you did it like the big boy sports. We need more of that.
I mean, I enjoyed the little showmanship, you know, because he's a Ferrari. That's what they do. He doesn't have the off the mat rap sheet that his brothers have, which is a good thing. But he seems like from an on the mat talent perspective, like he could have an impact similar to AJ. I'm not saying he's going to walk in as a true freshman and win a national title, but he's a guy that could be very, very good. It's interesting. The Iowa fan base has very mixed feelings about this. There's a lot of diehards that are just like, we got all the Ferraris. They're all really good. Bring them on. They're going to help us win national titles. And then there's the other part of it, like the more rational, I guess, part of the fan base that's very like, they're hesitant, right? Like they're hesitant to go in on this because of AJ's things. You know, he's got like a pretrial hearing in July and then an actual jury trial in September for his, you know, sexual battery issues. Anthony Ferrari I think he just took a 1-year deferred sentence. So he didn't exactly, you know, I forget exactly how I wrote it or what the, you know, case briefing says, but like he didn't plead specifically. Like I think he entered a like no plea, if that makes sense. So like he's yeah, just, he's got to keep it.
Whatever legalese word you used in your story. I was like, that's
a, yeah.
You Googled the
crap. I lifted it from the case briefing online because I was just like, that's a big word. People will believe me. So that's
not the title of the Jane's Addiction first album. But those of you might understand that.
There you go. He basically has to keep his nose clean for a year and write apology letters. And you know, there's a element of community service there, too. You know, but like, you know, he announced his commitment and he hasn't officially like gotten there yet. Right. So like he isn't officially signed. I don't know that he's actually enrolled yet. So jury's still out if Anthony will even be there. AJ's got to take care of his off the mat stuff.
No pun
Angelo
intended.
Does. Yeah. LOL. Angelo doesn't.
There. Sorry. I just couldn't help myself there.
Angelo doesn't have that stuff to worry about. You can clearly see that he has the same attitude. I don't know if attitude is the right word. Charisma. I don't know if that's the right word, but you kind of understand what I'm trying to get at here. He's got the same that his brothers have, but you know, he seems a little bit more level headed. You know, seems a little bit more, he doesn't seem as volatile, even though there is a little bit of, you know, clearly the confidence is there off the mat. Because I think a lot of people want their wrestlers to be humble and to be quiet and to go let their wrestling do, you know, the talking for them, so to speak. The Ferraris, they bark and they're not afraid to bark. And that's perfectly fine as long as you continue to back it up, you know. And so, you know, I don't know that he barks as loud as his brothers, but there's still a little bit of a bark there. And clearly he's talented enough that he can back it up. So I just think like, yeah, the Iowa fan base. Yeah. One half super excited. They're all coming. The other half, they're just kind of like, okay, like we kind of want to see how this goes. Like, you know, and I think Tom Brands, Iowa's coach, deserves the benefit of the doubt for taking on the entire family. And I think he's got, you know, I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt that, you know, people who are skeptical, I think Tom has earned your trust in this situation. But it's definitely high risk, high reward. I mean, I could totally see this thing kind of blowing up in their face if they're not super careful. Do we just have a question pop up through the chat?
Just, Aaron likes to drop a lot of potentials in there. So I was just throwing that there to other folks to pop up. You know, dogs bark and humans don't like it when they get humped by them either. So that's, that's the thing. It's what we love about live. Thanks, Swayze, who was also a big advocate for small school wrestling. So that is the Gary Barta, Angelo Ferrari portion of the program, which, again, your swan song here on the show. What do we got next? We've got transfer portal news. Of course, you were the biggest news of the transfer portal, going from wrestling to football. But North Dakota State, several guys dropping in the portal, but also Fargo's newspaper, the In Forum, ran a story on this, talking to Obi Blanc, the new head coach of North Dakota State, who will go and spend some time right behind me in Stillwater after his run at Lock Haven. And Obi came out and basically said, he didn't slam anybody for leaving. He made it, he basically said, yeah, here's what I'm trying to do. I go to church with these guys. Like, I'm trying to, it's more than just the wrestling. It's part of the whole family. But he also pointed to that tampering is an issue. He wasn't pointing to anybody specifically, but he also said, that people, when they train, they're going to get, the talk about the bags and the focus on the story. If you haven't read it, was in the newspaper. Or the newsletter. You can go to mattalkonline.com/news, and you can actually look on Twitter and get the previous day's news in case you missed it. But the story was basically like, North Dakota States don't have the NIL collectives, whereas the Power Five schools do. And, we talk about, the Gardner Webbs of the world, the NDSUs, the South Dakota States, the kids that grow at these mid-major schools, and then all of a sudden they get plucked by a bag from one of the Power Five collectives. This seems to be more of an issue or complaint on the college football side, but this is the first story I'd read from not a wrestling centric type of not a Flow, not an Intermat, not a Des Moines Register, talking about the issues that the haves and have nots, the P5 and the Group of Five, the mid majors have. So I thought it was an interesting read, and I thought Obi really, really handled himself pretty well and made himself look good there, and how he had given those quotes to the Fargo paper.
Yeah, this is, and I think there's a lot of wrestling people that kind of expected that, because this always happens, right? I mean, but nowadays, not just wrestling, any sport, like, these kids commit to the coaches. They don't commit to your favorite school. They don't commit to the program. A lot of kids commit because of the head coach, because of the assistant coach. And if that coach up and goes, the kid's going to follow, right? And the transfer portal kind of allows for that, because coaches have that, we can get up and go at any time. And up until the transfer portal was installed, athletes didn't quite have that same freedom. And now they do, right? So we're seeing, Jared Franick, Michael Caliendo, there's a lot of guys that are hitting the portal now, because presumably they're going to follow Roger Kish down to Oklahoma, which makes sense. That's probably the coach that they committed to. There's been a handful of Iowa kids that have committed or are currently enrolled at North Dakota State. And I reached out to them after Kish was officially announced at OU. I was like, hey, are you going to follow him? Are you going to stay? Are you going to stay committed? Like, what's the vibe here? That one kid told me, I'm committed to North Dakota State because I want to go through their academic program. I want to, go through the trade school program. I want to become an electrician. North Dakota State has that for me. I'm going to do that. There's another one that's currently in the program who's like, if a certain assistant leaves, I'll probably consider leaving too. Again, the idea that these kids commit to coaches and they want to wrestle for coaches that believe in them and that they feel can bring the best out of them. There's another one who is committed, who is like, we're going to reopen the recruiting process, maybe quietly, and just kind of see what's there. But also keeping an eye on some of the assistant coaches that are both coming in and maybe perhaps going out. I not super surprised, from what I did read in that column in Forum. I thought Obi articulated it very, very well. And this is a thing that not just North Dakota State has to deal with. There's a lot of, Power Five programs, or at least wrestling affiliate Power Five programs, I suppose. North Dakota State and South Dakota State, for example, not traditional Power Five, but I guess in wrestling, I guess I consider them Power Five programs.
Well, they're in a Power Five conference, but they're not. Hence, we do the mid-major poll, and we have schools in the Big 12 for wrestling that are. It's their all sports conference is what we look at. But I mean, because they're, again, it's the resources. What I've got behind me at Gallagher Iba Arena is not the same as what is in Benson Bunker Fieldhouse or Shields Center, whatever the North Dakota State's main facility is. It's Shields something, because everything out here is Shields. There's the Fargo Forest playing arena called Shields Arena, which is across town, but so it's a little confusing. The wrestling room, contrary to popular belief, not in the Fargo Dome, but whatever South Dakota State's building a nice facility, but you know, you ever seen the Lorenzo Wrestling Complex at Penn State or the giant wrestling center that's at Michigan? Jeez. I mean, you know, the schools that can afford being in a wrestling arms race are going to be in a wrestling arms race. So, I mean,
yeah, you know, and we've seen it, you know, look at, you know, Mitch Messenbrink, for example, went from Cal Baptist to Penn State. You know, Will Feldkamp went from Northern Illinois to Clarion, and now he's going to finish out his career at Iowa State, right? Like, that's seeing, you know, the haves recruit the have-nots or recruit the kids on the have-nots programs. Like, that's nothing new. And we see it in other sports too. You know, but then, you know, we'll occasionally see, you know, I don't mean to pick on them, but like San Diego State, for example, fantastic men's basketball season. Every now and again, you'll get a program like that where, you know, the kids commit to the coach and the coach is able to install a system and it works and they find a lot of success. Probably a little bit tougher to find that or see that in wrestling. But yeah, like we're gonna, you know, it's nothing new. I'm not super surprised, but I also think the concerns that Obi articulated in that column, well-reasoned, well-founded, and probably a reason for concern if you want parity in college wrestling. But I think we also know that parity doesn't really exist in college wrestling, as I get really quiet there, you know? So it's a very,
not that many teams have won titles. So
it's a very interesting topic of conversation.
Yeah. And point, the Sways brings up again, I've actually brought this up before about the Mountain Pacific Sports Federation, which is a conglomeration of non-revenue sports that kind of have a conference banner. I think they have 20 sports, and there has been some talk about them, you know, adopting the non-Big 12 schools, the legacy schools as a conference for wrestling and sponsoring it. I know there's some coaches that like, it's gotta be an all or nothing thing. I know that, I think, you know, I haven't asked Mark Branch this, but the word around the campfires is that Mark Branch likes being in the Big 12 for Wyoming. He thinks it's good for his program, which, you know, he's an Oklahoma State guy. He wrestled the Big 8, the old Big 8, then the Big 12. So I can see where some like that, having that insignia on the back of the singlet. It's, you know, I'm sure that's, you know, Utah Valley's got a Big 12 logo on one of their sports. That's going to be a bit of a sell, but at the same point, I think the sell of a Power 5 is you're selling the reputation on other sports. You know, it's a the SEC is a football conference. Big 12 is a basketball conference. It's the best basketball conference currently right now, but the Big East is a basketball conference. So the Big 10 let's be honest, it's a wrestling conference, huh? Yeah, you get the Big 10 logo on it. It's a little different story, but those are some things that are, you know, again, tangential topics, but you know, as somebody who went to a mid-major school and somebody who's, you know, knows how that world lives compared to the big boys. I remember when Joe Russell took the job at George Mason, he was, you know, he had to answer his own phone for the first time in his career. Cause no, they didn't have a Mary answering the phone at George Mason, like they did at Minnesota for 25, 30 years. So, you know, Joe was mopping mats, you know, do you think John Smith washes these mats behind? No, he does not. So, it's one of those things. So it is true. You know how, you know, it's not like you can just, try harder. Well, trying harder is easy when you have the money to do it. You know, anybody can, if you've already got $5 million in the bank, it's not as hard to make $5 more million. But if you've got $10 in the bank and you're trying to make, you know, 100, it's a little bit more difficult. So I don't know where that analogy came from. It's probably way wrong, but I think you get what I'm talking about.
I get it.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. Yeah, I don't know. Super interesting stuff. One of the other things kind of popped up in my head. Age level. I know we don't talk a ton about age level stuff. I know we talked a little bit about it at the US Open, but what U20/junior world team trials are this weekend, as well as the U23 national championships, strictly men, freestyle and Greco. Plan on tuning in?
I'm busy this weekend, to be honest with you. My focus on, I'll probably look at the results, depending on what time I get back on Sunday. I'll be honest with you, I haven't even looked at how the schedule works out for this weekend. I know I got a graduation party to get when I get back. My neighbor two houses down is going to end up going to Iowa State. So, Iowa State, you know, got a cyclone in the neighborhood, going there for engineering. So, good luck to Ashlyn and in her career. So it's weird seeing all the kids that I moved there that were tiny when I moved there, and now they're graduating high school. They were younger than my kids are when I moved there. I mean, I've been in this house 10 years this month, and it's like the longest I've ever lived in one place. So, but back to your point, I probably won't watch. It'd be one of those things where I'll look at the bracket at the end of the tournament, or if I'm, you know, on a plane with decent enough Wi-Fi. Oh wait, I got a 4-hour layover in Dallas on Sunday morning, depending on what time we start. So I'll probably pick and choose what I watch, but I won't be dialed in intently until, you know, I see some of the final brackets. But oh, I need to go back and watch that match, which is, you know, which one benefit we do have in wrestling is, you know, we can look at a score and not be, oh, I don't want to watch that match now. We will still go back and watch. It's not like, you know, people watching a race or something, like recording the race and staying away from the radio. This is 20 years ago, you know, trying to like, I don't want to know who won the race. I'm going to go home and watch it, watching cars drive around in circles for 5 hours. But, hey, drive fast, turn left. So, yeah, long story short, I'm not going to watch a whole lot of it, but I'll just pick and choose what I want to watch afterwards.
The U23 competition previously has been another world team trials process. But I believe last year was when, was it last year or the year before that USA Wrestling switched it? So the U23 national tournament this coming weekend is literally exclusively a national tournament. And they have since, they being USA Wrestling, has switched their U23 world team selection process where they give first dibs to the national team members who are U23 eligible. I forget if we've talked about this before, but having explained it the way I just did, because it's way easier than trying to look up the actual rule book. Yay? Nay? Do we like
yay,
that? Do
I
we
like not? It. I like it because, you know, you're giving the benefit to the athlete who is literally challenging himself more by going to the higher age group. So I like that, you know, whether or not they can beat the guy that was, they have to win the tournament. Well, they got to go through the senior level guys. And if you're beating the senior level guys to get to a spot on the national team, that's, hey, that you're putting that on the line. I think that is a cool, it's a cool thing. It may not be the fairest in the world in some respects, if you look at it just on sheer matches to wrestle, but I mean, come on. It's like, yeah, I got to wrestle Zahid Valencia, or I got to wrestle JIL. Granted, Jay's probably on the, he's beyond the U23, but I'm giving, using those like for an example. Like there's a little bit of a line between the top level of the age groups and then making the top three of the national team, even in the non-Olympic weights.
This was an interesting sticking point last year because in Iowa specifically, David Carr had made the national team at 74 kilos. He won his true third match at Final X. And then I believe it was the weekend after that, or maybe it was the same weekend, I forget. But Patrick Kennedy won U23 at the same weight, 74 kilos. But because David was U23 eligible, he got the nod for the U23 team. And there was a part of me, and this was way before, you know, David beat him like 10-4 in the duel and then went on to make another NCAA final. And Patrick, I think, ended up going 2-2 at the NCAA championships. I wanted to see those two wrestle in a best of three. Like, I thought that that would be so much cooler, you know, and also just kind of like, you know, like, okay, like, I don't know. Like, my thought was like, have them wrestle off for the spot. I thought it would be fair, you know, but I generally speaking, I'm the same as you. Like, I think it encourages, because when you think U23, I instinctively think college kids. And so like, you know, if you're going to give the U23 spot to U23 eligible senior national team members, that encourages a lot of the better high, or not better high school, better college wrestlers to go and wrestle senior level, right? Which makes an already deep age level even deeper, because college kids are so fantastic nowadays. We see it at the age levels all the time. Yeah, generally in agreement, but it was a very interesting, like, oh, this could be kind of interesting thing, especially in the state of Iowa last year with Kennedy and Carr, you know, both at 74 kilos. So
now, I agree. Refresh my memory. If say Carr would have lost that match, he would have had to wrestle off, right? Or does he lose it? I can't remember the situation here.
So I think in USA's, I want to use the word protocol, but I don't think that's right. That's probably right. In their U23 selection process, there's the term. I think there was something about being fourth on the ladder if you're U23 eligible. But I don't know if he would not have made the national team. I'm pretty sure Kennedy. See, now I'm questioning myself. Because it makes sense that
if he doesn't win the through third match, then Kennedy's a champ, and then, okay, well, I didn't get it. Well, did Carr wrestle U23s? No, because he's wrestling at the senior level. So it's like, you don't want to, you know, by one, you're saying, okay, so Kennedy doesn't get the opportunity to beat the guy that was a national team member, but if the national team member loses and isn't the national team, he doesn't have the chance to go to the U23s because it's already over, because he was trying to make a higher team. So I think, you know, I don't know if it's in the, I, you know, this is one where I could probably ask Bender, because he's probably going to walk through these doors at any point. But, you know, he's going in this year, in case you didn't know that. Yeah.
I'm looking this up now because I'm pretty sure like that makes sense, that like,
I hate not knowing David this off the top of my head. I feel like I'm disappointing all of our viewer. So by the way, thanks Aaron Sweezy for piping in with numerous comments in our Facebook chat. Guy's been, again, he's been a bastion for small college wrestling for eternity. Wrestler Sweezy on the old boards, the old boards. Guy's been posting longer than I have.
Okay, so here's
what do you got?
World team selection for U23, highest ranked age eligible athlete from the senior men's freestyle national team. That's the first criteria. Second criteria is if none of them are age eligible, U23 world team trials champ. Because at the U23 national championships, the finals are best 2 out of 3. So, yeah. Third criteria, if no age eligible national team athlete accepts the opportunity to compete at the U23 world tournament, or if U23 champ declines, second, third place finisher from U23's following rank order will be selected to the world team. And then after that is the fourth place finisher, if age eligible, on the senior men's national team.
Okay, so it's in there.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Yeah. Okay, got it. Well, it's in there. It may not be in the order we like it, but it's in there. So.
Yeah. So because it would make so much sense if, like, the hypothetical again, if David Carr finishes fourth, but he doesn't go to U23s because he's trying to do the senior thing, and then Kennedy wins U23s to have them wrestle off, right?
That would be, like, to me, that's logical, because we get, well, yeah. You know, we're greedy as the wrestling fan because we want to see the match. But at the same point, it's like, well, am I going to wrestle a tournament prior, you know, U23s, look at this year's calendar, for example. U23s are this weekend. Final X is next weekend. Senior level athletes, I mean, granted, the college kids are used to weighing in more frequently, but that's like back-to-back. That's different training cycles. That's like, you don't wrestle that much at the senior level. I mean, even, you know, going from the U.S. Open to the challenge tournament to Final X is boom, boom, boom in terms of how the senior level works. So that's tight, you know, that many competitions and that much of a window. So yeah, you don't see that at the senior level. So, I mean, it's a bit much, I think, to ask, but tis what it is, even though I hate that saying.
I say that a lot.
Well, this has been your show. We had an idea of bringing some things together, because I was looking for a co-host to do a weekly type of thing and talk about it. And the last couple of weeks, I felt like we're getting into our groove. You're kind of keeping me from going squirrel. At least half of the time, I'm still kind of just, you know, easily distracted and highly tangential. But, you know, I've enjoyed doing the last several episodes of In the Room. You're not going to be a complete stranger to the sport of wrestling, but like I said in the tweet today, after you told the world of your plans, and you know, you told me about it last week, and I'm like, we had just gotten all this stuff working, and dude, you have what's arguably the toughest beat in wrestling, because it's not just the Des Moines Register, but you look at the guys that are your colleagues in the industry, you know, Jim Nelson, KJ Pilcher, Steve Batterson, all the people that cover wrestling, and they cover Division I wrestling in the state of Iowa. You know, you guys are friendly competitors, but there is a competition, and you know, you're at the biggest paper in the state. I'm assuming, because it's the biggest city in the state. I've got to assume that the Register is the biggest paper in the state. But you've got the high school wrestling coverage. You've got the senior level coverage. You've got college stuff. You know, you talked about, you know, guys that came before you. You know, Andy Hamilton, Dan McCool, yourself have been at the Register. So there's been a lot of good wrestling coverage here. But Iowa, the state of Iowa, has such good wrestling writers and coverage from the papers to begin with, that you are in a competitive beat for wrestling, unlike anybody else. I mean, you guys in the state of Iowa have to compete beyond what, you know, I can call somebody up to do a podcast. It's not the same. I'm not competing like it. And you've done it well. Andy, of course, did it well. And it's one of those things where it's like, when we lose a good SID in wrestling, we're like, ah, you know, now we're losing a wrestler. I'm like, like I said, I'm stoked for you, man, as far as a professional career goes, because there's a little bit of that for me, you know, personally, that FOMO. I'm in wrestling. I love other sports, but it's like, what if? I sometimes think about it. You're not taking care of that. Well, you're doing that what if now. You're like, you're not worried about the what if. You're following, chasing things. I mean, I was listening to Ross Dellinger in the Yahoo Sports podcast the other day, and he's like, you know, I was like, oh, he's talking about, when I'm at the SEC football there, I'm like, now Ross and Cody are going to be battling for some beats down there. I'm like, you know, I'm going to like that type of stuff. So you're going to see your name in there with some of the other college football writers that that we tend to follow. So I'm, like I said, I'm excited for you to see you come up through the ranks and be like, hey, who's the young kid from Des Moines? You know, it's like, oh yeah, okay. Who's the kid with his hat on backwards? Now it's to like, wait, that was me. I was wearing a hat on. You know, just like your progression has been fun to watch, and you've always been personable, friendly, you know, goofy. You know, just you've brought a youthful exuberance to what's really a tough industry. Print industry right now is super tough. So I'm super proud of you, man. And it's been cool to do the show. But I kind of want to. It's your show. I want you to close out on what you've got to say about this move, what it's been like for wrestling. You've been on the cutting edge of some big stories. And, you know, like everybody in that market, it's, again, super competitive.
Man, well, first off, thank you. It's been an overwhelming day. We're recording this on a Thursday. I made the announcement, you know, a little after 7 a.m. As we're recording this, it's, you know, a little after 4:30 p.m. So I've been on my phone all day, just responding to messages, you know, taking phone calls, staring at Twitter.
You're getting ratioed in a good way.
Dude, it has been like, I figured because, you know, I've been doing this job for 6 years. I've been in and around wrestling for the last decade, you know, first at the Daily Iowa and then at the Ames Tribune. And then, you know, the last 6 years at the Register, I've just seen a lot. I've written about a lot. And you know, I've been fortunate to do it in a state that cares about it and that, you know, really kind of embraces the fact that, you know, Iowa does wrestling, right? You know, like the Indy Star does, you know, racing, Nashville does, you know, country music, Arizona does swimming, Iowa does wrestling. Like that's what we do. And so, you know, I've always held my position in very high regard. And I've always thought of it as a very unique privilege to give back to a sport that gave me so much. And so just, you know, I knew it would kind of be a big deal when I made a public announcement that, you know, like, hey, I'm headed out. But just totally overwhelmed by what a lot of people have been saying, just from all corners of the state, from people from all over the country. And man, there was a dude from Thailand that sent me a message today, you know, just, you know, he's been overseas for years and, you know, I've kind of been his one guy, you know, to follow wrestling here back here in the state of Iowa, cause he's a huge Hawk fan. And it's like, dude, man, like that's, you know, reminds you that it just really cool to connect with the wrestling community in that way. You know, and I knew as soon as I said yes to this 247 job that, you know, that I'm going to miss the people. Like I'm going to miss the wrestlers. I'm going to miss the coaches. I'm going to miss fellow journalists and people who are in the media, the parents of the kids that I cover, the fans that I've made connections with. Like it is, I'm going to miss that the most. Like the people are what make this sport super special. The people, especially in the state of Iowa, obviously where I've done a lot of my work, like there's just something special about the Iowa wrestling community. And we all know this because we're all part of it. But then, you know, to have a day like today where I see the outpouring of happy for you, sad for our coverage, you know, just kind of a reminder that, hey, kid, like you did good, you know, and that's really cool to see, you know, cause I've never wanted to make it about me. Like there's a lot of people who try to break into various media circles who, you know, they want to be a media personality. They want to be, you know, Skip Bayless. They want to be a Stephen A. They want to do this and do that. And, you know, I've always tried to make it about the wrestling community, about the kids, about the coaches, about their stories, about their successes, their triumphs, about them chasing their dreams. You know, and I hope that came through along with just so much passion because we love this sport, man. And that is one thing I wanted to always come through in everything that I've written about. Just, you know, hey, like this sport is awesome. This sport is fun. The results may not have gone your way as a fan, but like, you know, appreciate this aspect of it or look at it this way. And, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, I was able to check those boxes and, man, I'm going to miss it. You know, but kind of like you said, like there's, you know, a large reason why I think I did say yes to this and why I was even seeking out the opportunity to begin with is, you know, and I've told some people this, like I've got big dreams. Like I got into this sports writing business, this sports journalism business to, you know, go, I mean, initially I wanted to be on SportsCenter, right? Like I wanted to be Scott Van Pelt. I wanted to be Stuart Scott. Like those guys have all the fun still, you know, even despite all the ESPN layoffs that we've been hearing about. You know, but like there's more avenues to do that now, you know, like a guy like Chris Hassel, who's, you know, from Iowa, he's doing the thing at CBS Sports HQ now. And like, you know, Fox Sports, I know, is branched out into a lot of different digital ventures, and YouTube's become a hit for so many podcasters that we know what they look like now. You know, and there's a part of me that just wants to, you know, I think I could have pivoted and been the wrestling guy forever. And I think I would have been happy, but kind of like you alluded to, like, there would have been something over my shoulder saying, you know, like, hey, like, you probably could have gone and done that. You know, and this is me wanting to prove that I can go do that now. So who knows? Maybe I'll fall flat on my face. Maybe Alabama fans will scare me and I'll come back here tail tucked and everything. You know, but there's a part of me that wants to go try it. I can think of no better way to figure out if I can hack it or not than from going covering, you know, wrestling in the state of Iowa to covering Alabama football, you know, where the fans are probably 10 times as rabid. You know, but I'm really excited for that opportunity. I'm really excited to, you know, take a lot of the same skills and a lot of the same things that, you know, I tried to implement here in terms of community building and source building and, you know, just being able to share stories about things that people are interested in. And, you know, it's going to be a totally different, you know, focused 100% on SEC football now, focused 100% on SEC basketball when we get to the winter months. You know, it'll be different, but, you know, I'm very excited for that challenge. You know, and in many ways, my life as a wrestler and then also a wrestling writer has prepared me to be excited about that. And those are things, you know, whether I make it or whether I flop, that I'm going to carry with me for the rest of my life. And I have wrestling to thank for that. So, I think I'm going to put a period there, because if not, I can just keep rambling. So
I'm just sitting here thinking about, you know, Nick Saban, who has typically kind of been pretty militant in his press conferences when phones go off and such. His phone went off the other day, and it was like, oh my gosh, a phone interrupted Saban's press conference, and it was his phone. So he couldn't chastise anybody but himself. But as somebody, you've gone through years of Tom Brand stare downs in press conferences. I don't think there's any better preparation to deal with Nick Saban than having to go through one of the most intense wrestling coaches we've ever seen. So yeah, I think you're battle tested when it comes to the Saban press conference.
You know, it's funny. Tom and Terry both have this like persona about them. And I always tell people, like, if you have met them, you would not think that they were these, you know, crazy psychopath, you know, coaches in the corners. Like, you would understand the passion a little bit better. You know, and I'll be honest, before I made my announcement this morning, I was making a round of phone calls last night. And one of my first phone calls was to Tom, because I've just been working with him for a decade, you know, at the student newspaper and then here at the Register. You know, and he was pumped for me. Like, he was excited. You know, he sent me a congrats text. His wife, Jenny, sent me a congrats text. And, you know, these are people that are going to continue to root for me. And that was really cool. Like, that's, you know, that's a side of Tom that I don't think a lot of people get to see. There's a lot of people in, you know, not just the Iowa program, but all over these different wrestling programs that, you know, we think of wrestling coaches. We think of these kooky guys who, you know, have all sorts of interesting press conferences and, you know, come off as intimidating. But, you know, I mean, you're going to experience it this weekend at the Honors Weekend. You know, there's some of the baddest men on the planet are going to be sitting there drinking a glass of wine, and you're just going to be able to walk up to them and interview them or just talk to them and shoot the shit a little bit. Like, it's, you know, like, these are very approachable people, and, you know, they're human beings just like you and me with goals and dreams, and they support other people who, you know, have gone through this grueling sport the same way that they have in some form or fashion, either as a wrestler or as somebody who has been covering the sport. So they understand kind of what that pursuit is like. And so I thought that was really cool of Tom. And I think it's been really cool just to, you know, just to kind of get that support from the wrestling community. I'm bummed that I'm leaving them because they're so awesome. You know, but I'm excited to know that there's going to be a lot of people that are, you know, pulling for me to, you know, go down to Alabama and whip some ass down there.
You do at least have to go to Talladega just one time, because I've been dying to go to that race just because, you know, Terry Allison, Greco-Roman wrestler, he's an Allison. Of course, he's related to that family. Of course, family related kind of goes hand in hand. So, and we just watched Talladega Nights not that long ago. So I need an excuse to go down to Bama. And now I've got another friend moving down there. So, you know, I'll sleep on a couch. I ain't too proud to beg. So, again, I guess our in the room experiment went pretty well for a couple weeks, almost over a month. I mean, we captured all of wrestling Shirt a Day in May, and then We end it with Honors Weekend, and you go into Alabama, sir. So, find yourself an authentic Bubba Gump shrimp or something down there. I don't know. Greenbow. Tell me what Greenbow's like. I don't know. I'm running out of Alabama jokes. Something else is on fire for all we know. That's another story.
Oh, I'm excited, man. I know we were super pumped about, you know, doing this show all the way through the summer and then maybe keeping it rolling through the season as well, maybe multiple times a week. But this was fun, man. I'm sorry. I'm the one that has to throw a wrench into things, but you know, I'm not going to be a stranger. You know, I know we had talked about loosely doing some Matt Talk Online podcast while I still am, you know, cause I'm not going down to Tuscaloosa immediately. I'm going to be doing some remote onboarding stuff initially, and I'll be doing some stuff while still here in Des Moines before I officially move down there, probably mid July or so. So, you know, as wrestling stuff continues to unfold this month, perhaps I'll be appearing on your podcast since this podcast will be defunct as of Sunday night. So, yeah, not the last you've heard of us, but probably the last time that you'll hear from us, at least on this show in the room. This is the last one, episode 192. That's all we got. Any final parting thoughts before we officially sign off?
Been a pleasure, man. Been a pleasure.
It has been, it's been an honor. It's been a privilege. And these last 6 years have been thrilling and fulfilling in the same. It's been fantastic. Continue to subscribe to the Des Moines Register. I know that they plan on hiring behind me. I'm hopeful that whoever gets the wrestling job will be embraced by the wrestling community the same way I was. And, you know, I hope they bring a level of passion that matches, you know, wrestling crazed Iowa fans, you know, because that is what that community deserves. Continue to follow Jason Bryan, who's going to be cranking out some content from Honors Weekend. Continue to subscribe to Matt Talk Online, the daily newsletter, to get your fix of wrestling news. Again, stay subscribed to the Register. They're going to continue to invest in wrestling coverage. Yeah, I think you can find links to do all of that, as well as, you know, my final stories from the Register in the show notes. Thanks again for listening, you guys. We will, I guess we won't talk again soon, at least not in the room, but we will talk again soon.
Find me in my next show, In the Bar. And let's drop a mic on that one.